As I was singing that last song, it felt very clear to me that God said he wanted to do some healing this morning physically. And so before I start praying for, or before I start doing the sermon, I would like us to take a moment to pray for those who might have physical need. And so if you have a physical need and you would like prayer, would you just slip up your hand? We have one here. Two over here. One, two, three, four, five. So will the rest of you all, maybe keep your hand up for a moment. Rest of you all gather around these people with their hands up so that we can have a time of prayer for God's amazing healing. Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we thank you so much for your love for us. I thank you so much that you have placed upon each one here the call to be obedient to you and to respond when you speak and direct. And that's what we do this morning, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we come before you in obedience. You have spoken and said that you desire to heal physically today, Lord. And I just pray in the name of the Almighty God, Jehovah Rophe, the God who heals. I just pray, Lord, that your work will be done within each person who is suffering physically today, Lord. I don't need to ask or beg for you to do it because you have already shown us you want to do it. So I just claim in the name of Jesus Christ, healing for these bodies. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for your love, for your presence, for the work that you have begun. Bring it to completion, Lord, as you promise. Touch each person here and go deep with your healing physically. And Lord, we also pray that as we hear your word today, that it will penetrate us as well, spiritually and emotionally. We thank you, Lord God, for all your gifts and all your goodness and all your love and mercy and grace. In the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. It's great having Marcus Overstreet back. And Christina, thank you for joining him this morning. We had our, what I believe to be our last video Sunday a couple weeks ago. And then we were camping last week, which was so much fun. We had a great camping trip. So next year, the plan is we're going to also rent cabins. And so those of you who weren't able to come because roughing it was a little too rough, we're going to try a little bit of glamping. And so hopefully that will encompass a few more people to be able to participate. But it was cool. We had 30 people there for a church service on Sunday morning. That was great, and we just had so much fun. Now, earlier this summer, our son Dan and our grandson Daniel went on a bike ride, and it was the day before our grandson came over and spent the night with us. So he was actually saying that his legs were a little bit sore, so I found out what their route was. This kid's 6 years old. So they drove to the east side of the Selwood Bridge, and they got out there, and then they rode down the eastern esplanade to the Hawthorne Bridge, and rode across the Hawthorne Bridge, and then back on the waterfront, and back down the trail to the Selwood Bridge, and then crossed the Selwood Bridge to their car. And then they went back home again. And this kid's been riding his bike for a few years, and they go on kind of longer bike rides. But he'd never ridden over a bridge before. And so I asked him, how was that? And he said, it was scary. And I said, well, you know, how did you get across? And he said, well, I followed my daddy. He said it would be okay. And so I followed him. And I said, what was scary about it? And he said, I was afraid I would fall in, you know, fall off the bridge and into the water. But I said, but you made it, didn't you? You made it to the other side. And he said, yes. And I said, how did it feel when you got to the other side? And he said, good. That's a lot of pedaling for six-year-old legs. I have to admit that just riding in a car across the Hawthorne Bridge scares me sometimes. Because of the steel grates on the road. And I've walked over bridges before. And there's a mixture of anticipation and exhilaration that happens when you're walking across, but it's also filled with some apprehension. The cars are rushing by, and you do look over the edge, and there's the Willamette River quite a ways down. Whenever I even drive across the Hawthorne Bridge, I would say that the feeling I would express when I got across is, good. Good. I've made it across. We've spent the month of August talking a lot about bridges. And we've used the metaphor of Jesus being our bridge to God. Last week at our camp out, we talked about trusting the bridge and spent time hearing one another's testimonies. That was part of what was great about the service last week, too, was the testimonies that we were able to share about times that we needed to trust God and how he's worked and moved in our life. And an important point was made that the trek over the bridge with God to eternal life is a lifelong experience. And sometimes in the midst of the obstacles of trusting the bridge doesn't mean that the process is easier. In fact, the statement, I was scared or I am scared, can describe many points in our life when we're called to trust Jesus to get us over the obstacles that we face. And if asked how we feel when we get over those obstacles, we can strongly state, good. Because life is often a combination of exhilaration and apprehension. We've been looking at the idea of a bridge as being something that helps us get over obstacles, but it's also something that connects us. It's a means of connection. So Jesus as a bridge helps us overcome the pitfalls of sin and connects us with God. This morning, we're going to look at the topic of painting the bridge in two particular ways. God painted a bridge throughout history by preparing the way for salvation through Jesus Christ. And also, we paint bridges by showing others the way to Jesus through our prayers, through our actions, and through our words. And we're going to take a scripture today from the book of Romans. It was a letter written by Paul to the Christians who were living in Rome. And taking teaching from this letter is especially appropriate because in this letter, Paul explains the good news, the climactic revelation of God to the world through his Son, Jesus Christ. Paul reflects the human condition. He reflects on the meaning of our lives on earth, and he reflects on our hope in the world to come. He constantly moves us back to the fundamentals of God's truth revealed in Christ, and he teaches us to deal with the problems and the failures and disputes that characterize life in this world. Paul was chosen by God from his status as a zealous Jew, even persecuting Christian believers. He became the one that God chose to specifically share the way of salvation through Jesus Christ beyond his chosen race, the Jews, to the Gentiles, which was anyone who who was not a Jew. So we're going to start at Romans 9:30, where Paul writes this. Even though the Gentiles were not trying to follow God's standards, they were made right with God. And it was by faith that this took place. But the people of Israel, who tried so hard to get right with God by keeping the law, never succeeded. Why not? Because they were trying to get right with God by keeping the law instead of trusting in Him. They stumbled over the great rock in their path. God warned them of this in the scriptures when He said, "I am placing a stone in Jerusalem that makes people stumble, a rock that makes them fall. But anyone who trusts in Him will never be disgraced." This last part, this part that's on the screen, is referencing what Isaiah wrote earlier in history. It states that Jesus can cause people to stumble. Have you ever stumbled over Jesus? In the unbelieving life, one does find Jesus getting in the way of fulfilling our own destiny and our own desires. I hope that each one of us here can testify to the fact that at a point in our life, Jesus got in our way. And by getting in our way, He directed us and became that bridge connecting us to God. I hope that each one of us here can testify that when we try to control our lives, when we try to rush forward through life without checking to make sure that we're on the path that God has planned for us, or when we start thinking that we can earn God's love and find our worth in the things of this world, that Jesus becomes an obstacle. That He becomes an obstacle that actually stops us from the collision course we are on when left to our own devices. Paul says it this way as we continue in the book of Romans in chapter 10. "Dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart and my prayer to God is for the people of Israel to be saved. I know what enthusiasm they have for God, but it is misdirected zeal, for they don't understand God's way of making people right with Himself. Refusing to accept God's way, they cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. For Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. As a result, all who believe in Him are made right with God." I personally don't like projects that last for longer than one day to complete. I like to take the easy and the quick way to get to places, and sometimes I forget to enjoy the journey. I have a drive in me that says, tomorrow is too late, so I better have gotten things done yesterday. Most of these traits cause me to get in my own way. Probably better put, they cause me to get in God's way. God loves the act of creation and enjoys taking days to finish a project. Sometimes even years, for those of you who know anything about the story of my healing. He takes however long it takes with each one of us. And God allows Himself time to rest and survey the wonder of what He's created when it's finished. Walking in the cool of the evening was a practice activity in the Garden of Eden. Enjoying the journey was a way of life. God painted a bridge throughout history, preparing the way to salvation through Jesus Christ. And God's prepared and painted a bridge for each one of us so that we can come to know Jesus as our Savior. God has given all the time it takes for us because not all of us are all that quick to jump on board with God's ways and plans for our life. We think we know best, but God prompts us sometimes, even allowing us to stumble. And He's consistently communicating to us about the way, The only way to live a life filled with hope and promise and purpose that is found only by seeking the bridge, by staying on the bridge, by crossing the bridge. The bridge, of course, being Jesus Christ. We can choose God's way or our own way. Which is best? God's way. As we choose the best way, we partner with God and we become bridge painters ourselves. Continuing in Romans 10 at verse 5. The partnership we develop with God is shared as Paul writes and references the law, and he applies it to the good news about Christ. It says this, "For Moses writes that the law's way of making a person right with God requires obedience to all of its commands, but faith's way of getting right with God says, don't say in your heart, who will go up to heaven to bring Christ down to earth? And don't say, who will go down to the place of the dead to bring Christ back to life again? In fact, it says, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and it is in your heart." We do not need to go to heaven to find Christ and make things right with God, because God has already brought him down to earth. And we don't have to go down to the place of the dead to find Christ, because God has already raised him from the dead. To find Christ, we must simply believe in the message that is close at hand, and it is on our lips and in our heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Do you see the point at which we are painting the way to the bridge? If not, I've underlined it for you. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. And when it says that, it's not talking about the person standing in front of you doing a sermon and preaching. It is talking about each believer sharing the message of the good news through prayers, actions, and words. Those are the three things that we need, the equipment we need to paint the bridge. Prayers, actions, and words. We need prayer because we need to come in agreement with God. We need actions because we need to be consistent. We need to show integrity. We need to keep our hearts and our hands open. And we need words because we can offer a story as a way to testify about the power of God to change a life. Don't be afraid to share the good news or to extend an invitation. You might want to invite someone who might not otherwise come to a morning service to come and hear from an ex-con who is now the pastor of the largest multi-ethnic church in America. We should be excited about the adventure we get to share with our daddy. Even if we're scared, he says, follow me. We're going to make it. We're going to get to the other side. He gave us the way and now asks us to be a part of the continual building of his kingdom. His kingdom contains bridges. We build bridges through relationships with other people. We cross bridges as we step out of our comfort zone and cross over into other cultures and connect with people who might not have anything in common with us except that they need a Savior too. Therefore, we help them to find the bridge that is Jesus and walk with them as they cross it. We trust the bridge of Jesus Christ. Now, in order for people to find the way, we're charged with painting these bridges, again, through prayer, actions, and words. But too often, we hear someone say that they've burned a bridge. We might even say that ourselves. When we state that we've burned bridges, that means that we've chosen to destroy our path that holds connections, reputations, and opportunities. Because Burning bridges is done intentionally. And it is done because we are hurt or we are embarrassed or we are scared. The burned bridge becomes an obstacle in our life. The burned bridge is because we have chosen unforgiveness instead of the hard work of forgiving. The burned bridge is because we have chosen to remain in our pain instead of plowing through the hard work of healing. The burned bridge is because we are afraid to set healthy boundaries, so we self-righteously harden our hearts instead. The burned bridge is because we focus on the differences between people and forget that we are all running in the same race, the human race. The burned bridge becomes a stumbling block that stunts our spiritual and emotional growth, and it can also affect our physical health. The burned bridge doesn't negate our promise of eternal life. If you burn a bridge, it doesn't mean that you're going to go to hell. But what it does is it takes you out of the game. We are no longer effective messengers and representatives of Jesus. We become like the people Paul described earlier who refuse to accept God's way and cling to our own way. Do you have burned bridges in your life? Do you have burned bridges in your life? Are those bridges that are burned witnessing for Christ? Are those bridges building any sort of relationship that will help restore others to God? Are those bridges well hidden enough that they don't impact your life anymore? I know that the answer to all those questions is no. We are only fooling ourselves if we don't think that the relationships that have been destroyed by burned bridges have no impact on ourselves or others. Do you know what can restore a burned bridge? A repentant heart, a forgiving heart, and an openness to rebuild healthy relationships. A repentant heart is one that admits a wrong and is truly sorry for the part one had in the wrongdoing or sin. It is never just the other person's fault. We all play a part in all broken relationships. Let me take a moment to break away from this track and talk about abuse. If you have suffered abuse at anyone's hand, you are not at fault. You did not ask for it. You did not entice anyone to take advantage of you because of the way you dressed or because you were naive or anything else that abusers try to place on you. However, what you do own is how you are going to deal with the fact that you were abused. Will you be a victim forever, or will you be an overcomer? Will you burn all bridges and be wary of being hurt again, or will you become one who is no longer defined by the abuse? A repentant heart turns to God and leaves behind the shame and fear and form of belief that one's identity is defined by sin or abuse. A forgiving heart makes a choice. Forgiveness is a choice, not a feeling. Each of us freely receives forgiveness from God, not because we have done anything to deserve it, but because Christ shouldered every possible thing for which we need forgiveness. When we choose not to forgive, we are hindering God's work in our life. Simply put, we're telling God that we know best. The motivation behind unforgiveness is to hurt someone else, and that someone else is sometimes us. Forgiveness extends not only to the other person who we have been hurt by and disappointed by, but also when we feel that we have failed. Unforgiveness left to eat away at our hearts turns to bitterness. The Bible says that. unforgiveness will turn to bitterness. We can be either bitter and mean or forgiving and loving. It is absolutely a choice. We find freedom through forgiveness. We find bondage through holding unforgiveness. It's been said that unforgiveness is like taking poison yourself and waiting for the other person to die. The feeling of having forgiven will follow the choice of forgiveness. You cannot wait until you feel like forgiving before you choose to forgive, because you're not ever going to feel like forgiving. Forgiveness and unforgiveness are spiritual attitudes. Finally, a burned bridge is rebuilt when we have a desire for healthy relationships. This does not mean that a healthy relationship with the person or the family or the company or the church or whatever you have burned the bridge with is guaranteed to be restored. What this does mean, though, is that you are seeking healthy boundaries and know how to negotiate a relationship that can be rebuilt and won't repeat the pattern of unhealthiness. Rebuilding a burnt bridge takes work and learning new ways of interacting. The ability to undertake the restoration of a burned bridge means that the old will literally have to be replaced by the new. If a bridge, a structure, actually burns, they're not going to rebuild on the burnt wood, the charcoal, the pieces that are left. Brand new material is going to need to be brought in. This reminds me of the very first verse I memorized as a new Christian, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. This new bridge can and will hold paint because it's new wood. It will absorb the paint. And a new painted bridge becomes attractive, and people want to check it out. It's important that we join with God in painting bridges, because it is for those who do not believe, for those who used to believe but have walked away, and for those who continually disappoint, that we don't burn bridges. We paint the bridge so that it can always be seen and found by those who are searching. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, you've given us a lot to think about today. You're our bridge. You provided our bridge. And we are secure in that most of the time. And then when we look at our part in all of this, the fact that we are to replicate the work that you've done here on earth, the work that you did during your ministry, and the call that you've given to us to do the same, when we start looking at some of the work we've done, we find that we have not always been modeling ourselves after you, that we have picked up prejudices and judgment, and that those things have divided us between other people. And God, then there's a chasm, and that chasm isn't at all what you intend. You showed us that by sending Jesus to be the connection between us and you. And so, God, I just pray today, as we respond, as we process, that our hearts will be open, that you will show us those ways that we might be able to be more like you. And not only be more like you, but be able to be used by you to advance your kingdom. Because that's why we're here. That's why we're a church. So that we can continue the work that Christ began. And so, Lord, I just pray for that as we head into this next step in our service. I pray that you will help us to be restored. To allow you to rebuild us. To take out those old dusty memories of pains and wounds and sin. And realize how they are causing us to stumble. And then look up and see Jesus standing right there and realize, okay, we either stumble over our garbage or we stumble into Jesus. Let us stumble into Jesus' arms today, Lord. Pray in your precious name. Amen.